In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Trusted in your steadfast love, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and the number of the stars, and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus presents the matter of living an active faith to his hearers. Jesus tells the story as part of a larger teaching concerning how to use possessions in this lifetime and how to prepare for the age to come. We will hear more of this later this summer when we are presented with Jesus' parable of the dishonest manager, which comes from that same section of teaching. But today's gospel reading that we heard from Luke 16 gives us plenty to consider. Jesus' discussion focuses on how people's belief is displayed in their actions. He starts that discussion by describing two individuals. The first of them presented in great wealth, a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day, while the second individual is pictured in a total lack of prosperity. That at that rich man's gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. These two individuals could not be more opposite in terms of earthly possessions. And yet, Jesus' story is not a commentary about rich and poor in this world. His intent is not to tell his audience that haves and have-nots will exist in society. The people listening to Jesus didn't need him to tell them something they already knew. But they did need to hear about the differing fates that were experienced by the rich man and Lazarus. That the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Jesus' audience needed to understand why the rich man ended up in Hades while Lazarus ended up in paradise at Abraham's side. So what causes these different fates where one of the haves ends up in torment and one of the have-nots is in bliss? Is it that the impoverished get riches in heaven while the wealthy are dispossessed? Well, some might hear Jesus' teaching and think that's so. They can remember Abraham's speech to the rich man that Jesus said, that Jesus told them. Abraham saying, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in anguish." And then they may come to the conclusion that all poor people go to heaven and all rich people are condemned. But such conclusion is not a true understanding of what Jesus taught. And we ought not to import our own politico-economic interpretations into Jesus' teachings. The true reason behind the differing fates is connected to belief and piety. And that becomes evident when we consider Abraham's statements that are made in Jesus' account, when he responds to the rich man's request to have his brothers warned. When the rich man says, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham says to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Why does Abraham mention Moses and the prophets and the importance of hearing them? Well, it is a reference to the Lord's words. The Lord's words spoken through the scriptures. Abraham's comment indicates that the way of life, the way to avoid a fate of eternal torment, was disclosed in what the Lord had already revealed. What the Lord had spoken through Moses and the prophets. And if the rich man had believed those things and put them into practice, he would be at Abraham's side. It's what our Lord Jesus summarizes in another one of his conversations when he discusses the matter of eternal life. When a lawyer stands up and puts Jesus to the test and says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus tells him, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the man answers him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And what does Jesus tell him? "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. For that is what was taught in Moses and the prophets as they conveyed the Lord's will to his people." But had the rich man in Jesus' story been influenced by such things? Had he been influenced by the Lord's teaching? You'll think back on the description that Jesus gives of that rich man. The one clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. The rich man had received great blessings from the Lord. So much great blessings that he lacked really for nothing in his life. And that's what Abraham had in mind when he told him, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things." But how had the rich man used what the Lord provided him? And did he recognize that it came from the Lord? Did any of those blessings become instruments to demonstrate a love of neighbor? The conclusion from Jesus' story is a definitive no. They didn't. For remember again how Jesus described the rich man's neighbor. His literal neighbor. That at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. The rich man basically had to step over Lazarus to leave his house. And yet, that poor man placed at the rich man's doorstep received nothing from him. We're told that Lazarus longed to eat the rich man's table scraps. But not even a doggy bag was brought out to him. Rather, as Jesus says, "Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." And even in the afterlife, we're told by Jesus that the rich man recognizes Lazarus at Abraham's side. And yet, he wants to be served by that poor man. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." Jesus' story reveals the rich man's lack of active faith. He had not believed and incorporated into his life what the Lord had revealed through Moses and the prophets. And that is what led him to the condemnation that he experienced. It wasn't the wealth that condemned him. Just as Lazarus's blessed fate was not due to his poverty. Rather, the rich man did and didn't do. what he did or didn't do with that wealth revealed what he believed. And concern for the age to come, driven by what the Lord taught, by what the Lord revealed, by what the Lord spoke through Moses and the prophets, was not present in him. And this example that Jesus gives is an illustration of what the Apostle John taught in today's epistle reading. Recall what the Apostle said about Christians knowing God's love. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. And that statement declares that Christians like you and I know of God's love that has been demonstrated by Jesus, the one who gave himself for the life of the world, gave himself into death for the life of the world, and was raised to life again. We have heard that extensive witness about Jesus. An extensive witness of Jesus coming into the world and what he endured and also what he experienced, both in death and resurrection. We have heard that extensively taught during the first half of our church year. It was the focus of the scripture readings from that first Sunday in Advent, when it was nice and cool and cold, right? To Trinity Sunday last week. But John's statement goes further. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And the apostle there notes that part of the living faith that is to be created in Christians includes abiding in a love similar to what God showed to them and having God abide in them. And this describes the transformative nature of discipleship, of being brought into the kingdom of heaven, of becoming a follower of Jesus. Because being born from above, or being born of water and the Spirit, like Jesus talked about with Nicodemus in last Sunday's gospel reading, that is to bring regeneration, new birth to the Christian. That they actually become like God their Father in this world. Which also means beginning to imitate Jesus, the only begotten Son in this lifetime. Doing so brings confidence for the day of judgment. Or, putting that in terms of Jesus' story about the rich man and Lazarus, it means not ending up in torment in Hades, but rather ending up at Abraham's side. But the apostle includes a warning that complements what Jesus taught in his story. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, with those words, John points to a disconnect between love of God and a lack of love for one's brother. That was the disconnect seen in the rich man from Jesus' story, if the rich man even did love God at all. Because could love of God be consistent with complete disregard for Lazarus laid at his gates? Both Jesus and John are saying, not at all. That is not how it is. And this is the teaching that we receive from Jesus and passed down to us through the apostles. We have been led to believe in the one who gave his life for us. That's how God's love was shown to us. And because that is so, something new is possible for us. We love because he first loved us. And that includes not only our devotion to God, but also our concern for our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. It's really the basis for decisions that we have made as a congregation together, including how we use the good things that God has given to us now. Consistent with God's love being shown to us, and now we beginning to act like him, be like him in this world, we have chosen, that is, a new will created in us that we are now enacting. We have chosen to do several things together as a congregation. We have chosen to subsidize fellow congregations in our region. We have chosen to contribute to our local human care organizations. We have chosen to participate in collections to support our local pregnancy center. We have chosen to operate our clothes closet for neighbors. And that's just the sampling. That's the together part. That's not counting anything that all of you are doing separately in your lives. And the apostle reminds us this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that is true for congregations of Christians and for the individual lives of disciples. That where love of God and love of brother are lacking, we are called to repentance and reform. And where they are present, we are encouraged to continue and even to increase our activities. This is what we prayed for in today's collect. Because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing. Grant us your grace to keep your commandments that we may please you in both will and deed, including that commandment that we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This transformation that God works by giving us birth from above has a positive outcome, as the apostle outlined. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. It's the message that's been brought to us by Moses and the prophets, and brought to us by Jesus, someone who rose from the dead, and brought to us by those who testify about Jesus. We are to listen to them, the ones who carry the Spirit with their words. And such hearing generates actions that demonstrate how we have been made like God even now in our current lifetimes. And with that love perfected in us, we can anticipate being in the age to come with Lazarus and all others whom God has helped. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all.
Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. The Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, help our hearts to fear you rightly and to hope in your steadfast love. Hold your eye upon us and deliver us from death. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Almighty God, you have given Matthew, our Synod President, Jeffrey, our District President, Christopher, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors, so that we may hear Moses and the prophets, and so be convinced by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Make their proclamation fruitful among us in repentance and faith, that we may not fall into the torments of Hades, but be carried by the angels to Abraham's side in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, you promised great and abundant blessings to Abram, which he believed by faith. Bless the hearts of Christian fathers to prize the gift of their children, and to work in their lives for the good of generations yet unseen. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, you have called rulers to high positions that they might exercise their authority for the good of all whom you have entrusted to their care. Grant them every good gift, and grant that we might not misuse the blessings of prosperity and security, but live peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, give to your servants all that is needed for this body and life. Heal, strengthen, and comfort the sick, the suffering, the sorrowing, and the dying. And hear the prayers of all who call upon your saving name. Teach us to pray that our hearts may not be undone by anxiety and fear, but rejoice in your grace sufficient for our every need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Steadfast Lord, you are love, and you always reveal your love through your Son. Grant that all who come to your feast of love may worthily eat of Christ's body and blood, that whoever abides in this love forever abides in you and you in him. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as you have given us much, open our eyes to those truly in need, and give us both wisdom and generosity to be your hands and voice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Father of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Lazarus, and all who rest in you, keep us by your Spirit in true faith in Christ, that when our last hour comes, we may be gathered into your eternal home. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on a night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ given for you. Christ given for you. serve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Seated. There are a few parish announcements to make. First, thank you to all of you who helped organize and participate in the Foundry Day evangelism booth yesterday in Boiling Springs. Thank you for helping to pass out information about our church and to raise some money for our Operation Barnabas projects. Second, do note that in the sermon we talked about things we are doing corporately as a congregation together. One of those was mentioned was the clothing closet. There are some setup dates mentioned in the bulletin for the 11th and the 18th. That's prepping for the event later this month. Please pay attention to the information and participate if you can. The other that we mentioned in the sermon included supporting our local pregnancy center, the Baby Bottle Blast fundraiser, that's filling the bottles with coins, cash, or checks. I guess money orders would work. Don't put your credit card in there, though. That continues through the 21st. I know some of you took bottles home and may have already filled them. You can bring them in. You don't have to wait till the 21st to bring them in. If you did take a bottle and you are filling them, just remember to try to bring them in by the 21st. That way we won't have to chase them down as much this year. God go with you then this week as you serve him and serve your neighbors.